For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
Susie going toe-to-tobin,
Megan never a failer Taylor,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster,
give them hell, Miss Noel,
Jenna Murphy, the Murfinator, and Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Bricks Bachelor Podcast, and here I am on a wonderful, semi-gloomy Thursday with my little bestie and partner, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. What's going on?
Well, we're here for a day of a classic Real Housewives of New York. What a show.
What a show. I'm wearing my mink stole. I have my cigarette holder, and I have given myself an alter ego named Sally Stapler, and I work in the office of Mr. Feathersby, and I staple documents, and I harbor secret resentments.
Mm-hmm. I'm really spooly. I carry around spools of thread and, you know, fix people's suits and stuff at the office.
Oh, so much happens at the office.
I love that we're both, it's like a stapler and a spool.
Yeah, we're like the most inelegant members of the murder mystery party. Like someone who works in the office and staples things and someone who's like, oh, like a peon who's like the tailor.
Yeah. Well, it's really all about sexually harassing Freddie at the end of the day. Am I right, guys?
Oh, my goodness. Of course.
So
yes.
Before we get into it, we have live shows coming up. This is going to be a quick shill. Live shows. Phoenix is coming up in a few weeks. Go get your tickets for Phoenix. We'll be covering The Real Housewives of New York. And Lord knows if it's this crazy still, it's going to be even crazier then. So come see that. And then that same weekend, we're going to be in San Francisco for Gay Pride. We're going to do a Southern Pride Gay Pride show, or a Southern Charm Gay Pride show, rather.
Yeah.
Southern Pride. Good Lord.
Yeah.
people will be protesting
that'll,
outside.
That'll play well in San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. Southern Charm Gay Pride. So, you know, dress accordingly. And this is the last week for the Give Them Ben Ron shirts. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find those limited shirts or ticket links. Okay, everybody. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it.
All
right. Watchwhatcrappens.com for all anytime you need something from us. If you're like, what's your social media? Or how do I find you on Patreon? Or where are the tickets? Where are you going on tour? Where can I get your shirts? Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com and everything is there.
Yes. So let's move on to the Real Housewives of New York City.
Please, let's do it. It's the annual tradition of going to the Berkshires.
Yeah, it's really smart because Dorinda can never be fired. I don't think she could be fired anyway, but, you know, we always talk about, like, who could we do without? Well, people always ask us that anyway. You can do without some of the housewives, but you cannot do without the yearly trip to the Berkshires. That would ruin everything.
I know. Well, to be fair, and as alluded to in this episode, the Berkshires tradition did not start with Dorinda. It started with Heather. Heather is the one who kicked it off in her hot-ass house.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't be done with this show. You can be done with Heather, but you can't be done with the Berkshires. Okay, guys?
Yeah. No, the Berkshires are here to stay. It's funny because this show, it was always about the Hamptons. Remember? It always began at the beginning of the season. They would always go to the Hamptons. And in fact, the first few seasons of Real Housewives, they shot it summer in the Hamptons. So you like the season one, especially the first few episodes were heavily Hampton summer. Now it's like Hamptons are in the fall. We usually get an episode in the Hamptons, but it doesn't have the same joy as it used to have because Berkshires has really just taken over.
Yeah. The Hamptons is now marred.
Yeah,
Okay.
well, ever since Cindy Barbershop introduced Quag into the equation, the Hamptons just have not been the same.
Quag ruins everything.
It's not even in the Hamptons.
Just like in life, quag ruins everything. It sounds like a
Quag.
weird yogurt drink, quag. Like, get
It.
your probiotics, drink some quag.
Yeah, get your quag going. It's got a Q and a G. It's like a lot.
Yeah, it's like
And two U's.
some weird slimy thing from a cow that's not milk, but it's something else with dairy things in it. Gross, quag.
Yeah, gross. Super
Not to be
gross.
confused with quad, because we love her.
No.
But she
No, we
also
love
ruins
quag.
everything. Okay, let's start. So Dorinda is at the patisserie, which is hilarious because you got to prepare for Luann, and then you've got to have a bunch of things for Ramona to be confused by on a tray.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
tradition.
you know, I'm gonna have a bear claw just to frighten Ramona a little bit. Whoa, you actually killed a bear. I can't believe you killed a bear and you're serving me the claw. You're such a bad ass, but I'm a little scared, okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't eat bear, okay?
Now, I do wear bear. Huh, it's a rhyme. Because she has a bear coat.
Yeah, she definitely, she like a polar bear coat. Like, not even, it's like, she's like it's like, yeah, I'm wearing my finest polar bear. Okay, I don't care that they're in danger. What else is it gonna do? It's just gonna be on an ice floe, just floating around the North Pole. How about put yourself to use and just die and let me use your fur, okay?
What would you do for a Klondike bar? Okay.
Well, my favorite part of Christmas is seeing all my future fur coats going sledding in Coca-Cola commercials.
Do I get a discount on these? 10%? You know the way to my hat. Now you know it's going to be a good week when Dorinda starts off shaking her pointing finger, because that's what
Yeah.
Dorinda does whenever she yells at somebody or gets
Yeah.
shit-faced, or is happy or sad, really. It's just a Dorinda shaky finger.
Yeah, she's in great mood. In a great mood. It's Christmas time. She's getting discounts at the pastry shop. You know, there's probably like she probably got some great coupons in the circular.
Yeah. So Carol and Ramona are driving. They're boring. So then Bethany is with her assistants, putting on this Santa suit thing. And she has a new what's the matter? Did you notice?
She has, well, yes, there was a new Wassa, well, she Wassa Matter still Wassa Matter, but she has a new Wassa going on.
Yes.
Because
Now
Wassa
what's
Matter,
happening is just missing. It's like where's what's
what's happening?
happening?
Well,
Where's
she's
what's
at the
happening?
office. What's happening? What's that?
What's the
Well,
matter? What's
here,
going on? What's happening?
what's the matter? What's going on? Well, here's the thing is that Wassa Matter, I noticed this season her title has upgraded from like Bethany's assistant to something like Be Strong Coordinator. I forget what it is, but she's definitely gotten the title of coordinator. And yet here she still is holding up different Santa suits for Bethany to try on.
That's called bargaining with titles instead of money. Okay?
Yeah.
Just because
Yeah.
you're rich doesn't mean you're not cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So Bethany has all these like Santa outfits that she's looking at, and Wassa Matter's like, "Here, Bethany, this looks wonderful on you." She's like, "I, you know what? It's like Santa Claus. Like, you know what? I'm Mrs. Claus right now. You know, it's like Santa's like Christmas. You know, Christmas came early, and you know what? It's funny because it's Santa Claus. Santa actually delivered Santa. You know, it's like Meta Santa."
Bethany, you look amazing as Christmas early delivered Santa.
Yeah.
All right, what's the matter? All right, stop, get your ass out, get your head out of my ass, all right? Get your head out of Santa's ass, all right? So then the new what's a going on is, living up to her name because
Yeah.
she's holding some green outfit and she's like, is this Santa?
No, she goes, wait, she goes, I don't think this is Santa,
Oh.
which I think is important to say that because Bethany goes, what, are you Jewish? She's like, yeah. Okay, that's not Santa, sunshine. That's not Santa. I'm like, she didn't say it was Santa. She said, I don't think this is Santa. Like, she's not an idiot, Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany, stop Jewish shaming the girl with the Irish outfit. And P.S., why do you have all these outfits for holidays? Like, you're
Yeah.
the least jolly person I've ever seen.
I know. Where's your Krampus cloak? You know, she don't Santa shame the poor Jewish girl, okay? Like, as a Jew, I can say that we are very well aware of the classic Christmas tropes because it's everywhere. You know, the war on Christmas. You know what? It's like the war on Christmas is not a war on Christmas. Christmas is winning. Christmas will always win, okay? We know, we know.
Look, we pretend Christmas is winning because we have more Christians or and more people who like presents. So we we, you know, take over the store aisles. But really, the Jewish people are winning, and we know it. Santa's going to die of obesity-related causes soon. We all know it, okay? And you guys get, like, 12 days of presents or some shit.
No, that's a – well, no – growing up, I did not get this like fabled 8 days of presents. I would get socks and a Hess truck and like maybe a book of origami, which I, by the way, enjoyed quite a bit. But it's not like we Jewish kids are just like having – it's not like Santa just comes down the chimney for us for 8 days in a row. It's not like, oh my God, and here comes another video game and here comes another. But some kids there are. But for me, it was not like that. For me, it was I got my origami book and my Hess truck.
Well, Santa's just like having a really fat roommate anyway. And by the way, I am that fat roommate. Like, you wake up in the middle of the night, you just eat everybody else's carbs.
Well, also, he's a home invader. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, he's a home invader. This is 2018, and we're not putting up with this anymore.
If I put out a fucking cookie, it better be there in the morning. I don't want someone else eating my cookie.
I know. You leave out a cookie over here, there's a big old cockroach buffet the next morning. Cockroaches, my new Santa.
Yeah.
Thanks, Santa guys. Roach. This feels great. Glad we're covering this.
Santa Roach. So anyway, so now we're over at Dorinda's house, and she has more decorations than ever before.
Yeah. The Bazookies are here. There's something about sticking these women in a large country house on 18 acres with the gates closed. Which is basically a really long log line for a movie poster.
Yeah, a horror movie. Yeah. So Carol and Ramona arrive, and they're arriving the day before because Dorinda's like, I just want to have a nice, easy early night, sort of ease into it, and just a fun night before everyone else shows up. I don't know. Like, when it comes to, like, easy, fun night, I just don't think Ramona and Carol. Yeah. Not that Carol's not easy. But it just seems like such a weird mix of people to spend your pre-Berkshire's night with.
Yeah, Ramona's not easy and Carol's not fun. So I don't know what you're getting at, lady. Why don't you just say, I love Milo, yeah, and end it there.
So she gives them all a tour of the decorations. She's like, well, I did a whole old world meets new world meets kitsch. And I was like, I don't think I see the old world or the new world. I just see kitchen, 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 kitsch. Because yeah. She had a TV, a Santa Claus TV.
Yeah, why would we need old world, new world meets kitsch when we have Sonya? It's been done, Dorinda, sorry. So Carol's like,
Dorinda's always decorating, but this year is over the top.
So Sonya is in her townhouse spraying perfume everywhere. And then her little door phone rings and she's like, hello?
Yeah, she screams into it, hello? Hello. I'm like, you're not screaming into like a plastic cup that's tied by string to another plastic cup. Or maybe she is, actually.
Yeah, she probably is. I was going to say, it's probably not even hooked up.
Yeah.
And the dog's barking in the background and stuff. And it is one of our favorite people of all times, the faceless Satoko.
Satoko.
She's amazing.
So Sonia's like, well, I get a facial every week. You have to keep the dead skin off your face or else it'll get clogged up. And, you know, you're just like not going to be rosy and then you'll get wrinkles. And it's New York City. I'm like, I didn't totally follow that train of logic, but OK.
You only need facials in New York City. OK. Everywhere else is fine with clogged pores.
Yeah.
And if you're going to keep dead skin off the top of your face, why are you still dating Rocco?
We're living in this place.
Yeah.
So then we get like a nice Pickles flashback, which I really, really appreciated.
Yeah, that was because, a little gift for sure.
Yeah, because I guess Satoko came in and she saw the dog, which is Sonia's daughter's dog, and she's like, oh, Rouge. She's like, no, that's not Rouge. And then we saw a flashback of Rouge in the Pickle era.
Yes, they're like Pickles, as Pickles is bleeding all over that couch with a huge stain from last week.
Yeah, our second Pickles illusion in a row, by the way.
They're trying to make us all start a manhunt for Pickles. I think this is their way of saying help. Like, help Pickles. So Satoko's like, what happened to Rouge? And Sonia said, he's not here. Where? I gave him to a new home in Maine. You gave away the dog! We all need a Satoko in our life. I have a Sunny from Sunny Cleaner. Why you leave gum in your pocket? Why? She always gives me a dog hair sticker roller thing for Christmas. And every year she goes, here, you need it.
Oh, I love that our Christmas gift comes with shame.
Yes, it's so funny. It's like just upfront truth, you know?
Yeah.
Why you put your sock in ball?
I'm like, that's how I take them off with my toes.
Don't take a sock off with your toe.
It's like getting yelled at every time I go in there. I love that woman.
Do you like a fluff and fold with her?
No, I do. That's the only fancy thing I do in my life. Okay, I still eat Domino. You know, I'm not fancy at all, but I do get my laundry done because life is too short to be in a laundromat. I don't have anything, you know, and I'm not going to iron. You know.
I support it.
Yeah,
I support it. I have a stack of shirts that need to be ironed that have been for months. Like I'm having a hard time wearing clothing because I have not ironed my shirts, and I'm running out of my shirts that need to be like. I don't have shirts to wear anymore. Basically, like I'm wearing t-shirts now. I'm in a t-shirt phase.
Well, I pay more in ironing those shirts than I pay for the shirts at the old Dave's. So
wow,
but it's worth it. It's worth it, people. Okay, I can be fancy with one thing in my life. Get off my ass.
So Satoko is, you know, shocked that Rouge is gone, and then she's like, "What about Kitty?" And she's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I sent Kitty to a nice gay man in Hell's Kitchen, also." Everyone's just getting shipped out. And Satoko, for someone who like comes in once a week, seems to have a real truly no awareness of where these animals are.
Yeah, well, maybe Sonya just means she gives herself a facial scrub in the bidet every week or so.
Yeah.
So,
I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. But one of our listeners messaged us on Instagram and was like, for two women who see each other every single week, they're acting like they haven't seen each other for like 40 years.
Well, I feel like Satoko is never going to be shocked at the depravity she finds at Sonya's house. Even if she was there every day, she'd be like, why is there gum in your pocket? Why? Like she'd find something, you know.
Why are your eyes brown?
Yeah. So she's giving away the kitty too. And Sonya's like, look, they told me to get rid of things. And it's easier for the dogs. And it's easier for me. They're all all my pets are having a better life now.
It's true. It's actually true.
It is true. But try it with the pickles couch and the dirty curtains, you know.
It's like being mad that like it's like being mad that the person who keeps their children in a cage decided to get them better homes. It's like, well, you can't be mad at that person. They understand these children cannot be at home with me because otherwise they're going to be in a cage. Okay. I mean, you could be mad at them for putting them in the cage originally, but I'm saying like the course of action, you can't be mad at.
Well, I support putting children in a cage.
I do too. Actually 100%. Just feed them, make sure they're fed. Yeah. You know, make sure they're comfortable, but they stay in the cage.
Give me one of those little water bottles with a ball rolly thing to lick and I'm fine. That's all I needed as a kid.
Yeah, so it should be seen and not heard. I feel like that's a really, really important lesson that we've lost. Like I was at a restaurant the other day. I got in. I was in Genghis Cohen, and there was like five kids running around doing laps. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is a restaurant. This is not gym class.
Well, see, there you go. Cages.
Cages.
Genghis Cohen mm-hmm. cages. So mm-hmm. then Satoko moves on to, how many people are you having sex with? And Sonya's like, well, I don't know if I want to tell you. I'm very private about my sex life. I'm like, Sonya, you've talked about wanting to F everybody you've seen and showed your vagina like I think 20 times on the show. Let's stop pretending you're like shy.
Well, I mean, she's the sort of person who, if you ask her, she gets demure. And if you don't ask her, she's like, well, I was boning Rocco the other night. You know, we just loved to bone. And then I had sex with Frenchie over the phone, of course, because he's in France still. And then I was, you know, I got it up the ass from Cowface. That's what I call him, Cowface. We met at an ice cream shop.
I just had sex with Ben and Jerry. Amazing.
Hagen and Dawes.
You know, I tried to look Hagen up on Facebook, but he has two dots over the A. Try doing that on pickles.
I'll tell you who's a great lay. Noah of the bagels.
Satoko takes that as Sonya doesn't want to name all the men she's having sex with. So she's like, two? More than two? Five? 10? Less than 10? More than 20 or less than 10? Sonya's like, no, I don't do two guys at once. Have you ever done that? It's horrible. And then she's like, well, if you have some downtime, I love I love her.
Yeah. And this year, Satoko came all like glammed up. She's like, okay, for my cameo this season, I'm going to have makeup on. Like she was like, her hair was blown out. She had a full face of makeup. She was ready. She's like, you know what? I am a star now. I am a valuable part of this franchise, and I'm going to look good when I give that facial.
Yes, and if I want to have sex with multiple partners on my lunch breaks, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So Sonia's like, do you douche in between? Which Sonia, God, look, I know douching is a real thing and people do it, you know? But we've seen you washing things in your bidet, old underwear and stuff. No one wants to think about your bidet, Sonia.
Yeah. And I'm still concerned about the BlackBerry that may or may not be in the toilet.
Yeah, just don't make us think about your bathroom at all. Okay.
Yeah.
So then
Sonia
starts telling Satoko that if you have sex with two people, their sperms start fighting in your womb or something. So
yeah,
my face was so scrunched up I couldn't really hear the rest.
Yeah, we were getting into some questionable biology at that point, and I was just like, "Can we just get to the Berkshires already?" I don't know why we've made this detour at this moment. Yeah, this is like I want to see like Bethany and Carol fighting, not two sperms fighting in the womb.
Well, let's do a preface. Or a preface. So Carol, Dorinda, and Ramona are all in this restaurant. And
called Allium. The restaurant's called Allium, which of course is, I think, is this like the family or is it the chemical compound or whatever? Onions.
Oh.
like onions, shallots, scallions. They're all part of, like, I think Allium is the family. I'm like, that's a charming name.
Well, you know, we're not going to date it. It's also a V short of a relaxing trip. So Dorinda's like, let's order everything at once. All right, now wait till you see what I do with this murder mystery killer. And Carol goes,
wait, did someone actually get murdered?
Yes, Carol. Yes, Radzivill. Someone's
dead. Okay. So Radzivill's not called a Be Alive mystery party.
Die already, Radzivill.
So Ramona's like, oh, just so you know, I saw Sonia at her apartment. Luann, and I have to say, it was like old Sonia. Believe it or not, she's enjoyable. This is the latest update from the Ramona News Network, okay?
Ramona's trip advisor. Sonia is great now. And Dorinda's like, normal. Now, Dorinda, I don't know how much they cut out of this dinner, but it looked like Dorinda turned drunk really fast.
Yeah.
Because she looked like she was going to pass out and punch a wall at the same time in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, the slurring happened quickly. One scene, she's like, all right, I think we can have some garlic bread and some minestrone soup and maybe some mussels too. I'll tell you something else about these mussels. This is good. You can scoop them up. You can get the mussels out with your shells in real time. So people,
don't give a man a fish if you can teach him how to fish it.
I just went to cabin now. Why they call it cabin now if it doesn't have a cabin footprint? That's what I'm saying.
Penny, piles of penny. Richard. So Dorinda's like mad that she's talking about Sonia, and you can tell because she's playing with her earrings and looks like she wants to punch somebody. So Ramona's like, look, it's just a matter of time, okay? Because Dorinda and Sonia both have hearts of gold, like hookers, but like movie hookers, not real hookers. They'll hurt you.
They're both pretty women.
Only one of them's gonna get Jason Bateman, though. Okay,
no kissing on the mouth. So Carol's like,
hey, have you guys seen Bethany in the past few months?
And Dorinda's like, well, yeah, I mean, I just went to Puerto Rico with it. Which is like, it's kind of like, yeah, it made me laugh because it's not like, oh, yeah, no, I saw her. I saw her. I had got coffee. It's like, no, I actually went out of the country with her for an extended weekend.
Yeah, did you not hear about that? It's on the show that you're on.
Yeah. So now
Dorinda's trying not to just rat her out, right? So she's like, yeah, we can pee out with. I'm a drunk. So you think something's going on? What do you think? If you had to guess who's the murderer, who would it be? Me?
Yeah.
It's me. I'm telling you right now, it's me. And Carol's like, well, she got very upset with me, and she seemed very aggressive about it. That's a clue. That's a clue. Bethany has something the matter with Freddy Highmore next door.
And Dorinda's like, listen, when everybody in the room smells smoke, go outside. Because it means the Santa Claus decorations are on fire. And they tell me every year it's a fire hazard. And I never listen, but this year there's smoke and the house is going to burn down. Okay, Richard, they're all turning into Richards.
I like that when there's smoke, they just go outside.
Yeah.
These days, you don't even know what the smoke's coming from. Is it a fire? Is it from a vapor machine?
Maybe someone's making a brisket.
You know they sell smokers. They're called green eggs.
You know what they say? With this smoke, there's brisket, so you can have a lovely lunch. So have a great time with that smoke.
With this smoke, I cooked, I cleaned, I made it nice. So Carol's like,
well, I don't know, but she's not reaching out. She's not making plans.
And Dorinda's like, this tension, I don't got my finger on it, but you don't have your finger on it. You don't got your finger on it. Where's people's fingers and why aren't they on it? And she's pointing her finger. She's doing her drunk, angry finger point.
Oh my god, I love I'm glad that you pointed that out, no pun intended, this episode, because that's such a true thing. It's not just even a point, she like really arches her finger, like if there's like an arc to it. She's, yeah. She doesn't like, it's not like a straight, like I'm like a not like a plank, like a wand, it's like a hook.
A bow. She does
that, yeah, it's like a, she's gonna, it's like a sloth nail, right? Like a.
And she shakes it. And then when she's mad, sometimes she'll point it straight. It's like you, yeah, can read goes her up. Finger.
She goes up. Well, you know what it is? When she gets mad, it looks like she's going for a high note because she'll do that thing where it shimmies up, you know? But when she's making a point, she does the hook towards your face. Like, and that's the truth right there. When there's smoke, there's a hook finger. That's what I'm saying right there. Hook finger.
Hook finger. It's like drunk conducting. It's,
yes.
And I
she is a drunk conductor, yeah.
So Carol's trying to figure it out on her own because you know that Dorinda's just going to tell her. Dorinda can never hold any. Dorinda and Ramona, you know, someone's, yeah, going to tell her. So she's like,
well, I said I would make a matching donation to Be Strong.
And Dorinda's like, well, I think the little problem is Sally wanted to be paid for Puerto Rico. And that bummed her out. You know, that's bummy. That's bummy. She might have called him a bum. I'm not sure. But, you know.
Dorinda, we're learning, is the worst player of Hot or Cold of all time. Whether it was the murder mystery or this, it's like, okay, tell me if I'm getting warmer. Is she mad at me about the charity?
He's bummed out to that. Warm.
Okay, here's what it is. Okay, let me tell you. It's like, oh, you didn't even let me guess a second time.
I spy with my little eye something.
Just tell me. Just tell me now. Just tell me.
She's like, Dorinda's like, I spy with my little eye a radiator. Well, okay, is it a radiator? Yes, it is.
So then Ramona chimes in, and Puerto Rico. Okay, it was Houston and Puerto Rico. It was two places that Adam didn't get paid for. Okay, and Carol's like,
that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, but you know, just like clicking your feet three times with disapproval.
I was getting more of a Brittany Murphy vibe from, you know, like, I'll never tell. She's like, that's not okay. I'm just imagining her shaking. She's like a character in one of those thrillers where she's like in a mental institution being like, that's not okay. That's not okay. And like, all this time, it's been a code.
Well, it's okay. I think she just thinks he's opportunistic. Don't hold it against me, okay? Don't hold it against me, like I told you. Don't shoot the postman's daughter. That's what I'm saying.
The postman.
Oh, no. Was he the postman, yeah, or the electrician, her dad?
I think he was the electrician. I could be wrong.
I think
both.
He was a postman, and she's like, I used to go with him in the mail car, and we'd come to this house, and I wanted to buy it.
I kind of feel like in the Berkshires, it was one of those places where someone had several different roles. Like you're both the sheriff and the postman and the electrician, you know,
like Rhett the Butler.
Yeah. Like Rhett the Butler, which took me about like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, I get it. Rhett the Butler. So Carol's like,
so have you guys been talking about this amongst yourselves? Is that what's going on?
And Ramona's like, no, I've just been noticing. I've been noticing. I'm like ready for murder mystery. I'm noticing everything around me. You can call me Ramona Drew. Because I know the secret of the hidden staircase, okay?
Did you not get the hint when I was telling you that Bethany called you a puppet?
It's time to get it started.
So Carol is like, what the hell? Like, she's been talking about me, and normally I would know that she's talking about me because she would just say it to my face, but now she's going behind my back, and I've had no idea this is going on, which is weird, you know? It's like mid-season, it's episode 8, that Carol's finally finding out that Bethany's mad at her.
Yeah, although was Bethany, like, here's the thing. They're making it sound like Bethany is going and gossiping to every single person, when all it was one scene of Bethany telling Dorinda, you know what? Like, you know, I think I forget how Adam came up, but Adam came up and Bethany's like, you know what? Like, I asked him to do my Be Strong stuff, and he asked for a quote, and I was like, I can't give you a quote. And just, it didn't sit well with me. That's basically all we saw her say.
Yeah, and I told her, she said, I told her that, you know, like, he seems like not a user. What was the word she used?
An operator. Like an operator.
Yeah, I could have said smooth operator. What a lovely song. You know?
Yeah.
What are you going to get me on that? What? I'm sorry, your son's a talented, or your boyfriend's a talented musician. Okay.
Yeah. There, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? Here, I'll say another thing. I'm sorry that your boyfriend makes music that I just want to have sex with all the time. Okay. There. Said it. Sorry.
Your boyfriend's a Beatle. What are you going to do? Beat me up now? Come on, Yoko. Bring it. Yeah, because talented musicians. I'm just trying to think of things.
Oh, I thought we were just going to do a Sade run, and I was like ready to dig in. Is it a crime?
Talented musician run. Okay.
Listen,
be here all day.
This is no ordinary charity, okay?
It's no ordinary be. No ordinary be.
They're going to change Puerto Rico to Puerto Bico.
Beth Rico.
She's going to brand Beth Rico. She's going to rebrand Puerto Rico to start with a B.
B Rico.
Listen, I'll give you cash cards, but it's now Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Skinny Island, okay? Look. We got jeans.
Skinny Island.
We got jeans. We got cocktails. We got an island. Skinny Island.
No plantains. No more plantains in Puerto Rico. Okay.
Skinny Pernil. Okay. Skinny Pernil.
That is ridiculous. Okay. So Carol's like, well, we've argued, but I don't like this. And Dorinda's like, I love your voice. Seeing your voice, hearing your voice, projecting your voice, understanding the mystery of your voice. Your voice probably killed Freddy. Except I know it didn't because I know who did it. My voice. My voice did it.
Dorinda just swivels around in a chair. I want you on my team. I love your voice. And so Ramona's like, and Carol's like, I've always had a voice, you know. And Ramona's like, before you were more cerebral and more you're writing, but now you're like, boom, more out there. Dorinda's like, it's good. It's colorful. It's very, very colorful. I like that color. I like the color of your voice. You ever sing with the colors of the wind? It started to become Ramona there towards the end.
I think it's called Brothers of the Bend now.
Dorinda's like, you're painting with a different crayon, okay? I love when you paint that crayon. You're an Italian like me, painter.
It's like you take the crayon, the chaos crayon, and you change it up with the voice crayon.
Now I'm scared of Bethany.
Don't be scared of crayon paints. Be scared of Bethany.
You know, you shouldn't be scared of a sandwich. If you want a sandwich, have a sandwich.
So the next day, Dorinda's just eating alone because she's learned not to wait for any of these ladies. Yeah. And Carol is wrapping a Freedom of Choice chia pet, which is so Carol.
Says chia Donald Trump.
And Ramona is Ramona's in the kitchen, or she comes down to the kitchen. Dorinda's like, and Ramona's like...
That's also the noise her teapot makes. It's a very dysfunctional teapot.
It's an old-timey horn.
She's ready.
Ramona's like, I snuck down earlier for berries, and I indulged in those almond muffins, whatever they are. They're croissants, Ramona. Jeez. Are you just anti-France just to fight with Luann or what?
I love your bread. I thought it was so fascinating that it was like squished in the shape of a crescent. You should really hold your bread better so that way it maintains the shape of a loaf.
And people wonder why I get so proud when Ramona can say cerebral. Okay? That's why.
It was a cerebral piece of bread.
Ramona, Carol comes down. Ramona's like, did you have any of that wine? It was like butter silk.
Sorry about the linens.
Oh, the linens. Oh, thank you. I was like, what is butter silk?
Ramona goes, my bed, the linens were like soft as butter, like silk beyond. I'm like, it was probably silk linens, but it's fine. Those beyond. Silk linens, just like silk beyond.
Who wants to sleep like an Egyptian? Not me.
That was beyond. Like, it was like a bed. It was like a bath. It was beyond. They should have a store for that, okay?
I was telling my friend Claire's. So Bethany is in with her driver, and you know it's going to be a horrid trip for Bethany, because she's like,
what the Berkshires be without Bethany, huh? I put the B in Berkshires, huh? Remember that, huh? I put the B there.
It's Berkshires.
Was Berkshires before. Now it's the Berkshires.
And it was just a montage of Bethany being an asshole every time they go to the Berkshires.
I know.
Like a complete evil asshole.
This time, Bethany is trying to be fun. She's like, look, I put on a novelty sweater. Like, it's got three snowmen on it. Yeah. And then Kevin, I think to me, the big star of the scene was Kevin, the driver, who was wearing a sweatshirt that had a teddy bear holding a martini on it, which I loved.
Me. So he had a sweatshirt of me.
Yeah.
Bear with the martini. She's like, I'm in such a good mood. There's nothing that could go wrong. Go wrong.
Nothing could go wrong. And they're like, oh well, it's gonna be bitterly cold. Oh, okay, well, it's bitterly cold. Okay, I'm not leaving the house. I never do. It's like the weather's terrible. Like, why do we come up here? Why do we go to like the icebergs? Like, you know what I'm gonna do? What? How about next time we just like go into my Sub-Zero freezer? How about that? Okay, same thing.
How about we just stay in such a good mood since we're celebrating Bismuth? Okay.
Bismuth. Yaxmas, okay? That's what it is. So now, while Bethany is, like, in her hearse driving up to the Berkshires, Carol and Ramona are giving Dorinda Christmas/thank-you-for-hosting-us gifts. So first is a personalized makeup turban, which I love because it makes me think of Tawny from Soap Dish.
Yes, except that she didn't have to give Sally Field any directions. She's yeah. like, it's a makeup turban. Oh my God. It's a Dorinda. This is everything.
Richard, this woman, I forgot her name, Tawny. Thank you, Tawny. Nice to meet you. Put me in a turban, Richard. A turban.
Well, am I 90?
I look like Gloria fucking Swanson.
So she's trying to figure out, and I just was cracking up because Carol's just going,
it's a towel. Twist it. Twist it.
She's like, oh my God, it's so exciting.
Twist it. Keep on trying.
And then Ramona goes, Ramona's trying to figure it out. But Ramona's also in a very positive space because she knows that everyone else is going to fight with Bethany this trip. So she's like, well, this is how she's supposed to do her makeup, I guess. Way to join the party, Ramona.
Ramona is in a great mood because, I mean, obviously, then they give this Chia Donald Trump. And then Ramona, as you immortalized on our Instagram last night, Ramona then falls under the spell of none other than some snow globes.
This was the best thing ever. It's like watching a cat with a laser toy.
Yeah. You know? I think this is the first time Ramona has actually ever seen a snow globe.
Yeah. How did they fit a whole town into this little tiny thing?
Well, it has its own weather system. How crazy. How does it have its own snow?
I guess there's no global warming. Am I right? So she's just shaking because Dorinda, of course, she can't just have one snow globe because she's Dorinda and it's Christmas. So she's got like 50. And Ramona's just shaking them all up. And she goes, oh, this is fun. Dorinda, I discovered a new game. It's called Keep the Snowballs Going. Okay, no one's listening to me, snow globes.
Which is the worst name for a game, Keep the Snowballs Going. How about call it, like, I don't know what, you could call it anything, but like Snowballer or Snow Glober. I don't know what it is, but Keep the Snow Globes Going.
And then Bethany comes in, she's like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you know, like, totally manic. And Ramona's like, I'm playing the snow globes.
Whoa, this is crazy. This one time when I was a little girl, I was like, look at that snow globe. I bet if you turn it upside down and then put it right side back up again, it'll snow inside the snow globe. And then Geraldine Parsons and it says, fine, you can do that, but you're an idiot because everyone knows how snow globes work. And to this day, I've never been able to use a snow globe without having a certain amount of shame. I'm sorry, but that's my personal trauma, okay?
Sorry for giving every tiny town on this table a snow day so the kids didn't have to go to school. I kept doing it so much that all the kids in all these little towns ended up stupid. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, this is your fault. What are you going to do next? Cause a tsunami?
Whoa. So one time I was playing with a snow globe and I shook it up real bad. It was like a full-on Superstorm Sandy inside a snow globe. And Geraldine Parsons said, that's great. All those cars just skidded off the road because it was in sudden snow and no one was expecting it. Now there's all these fatalities. It's all because of you, Ramona. And to this day, I haven't been able to look at snow without crying for all the death I caused inside the snow globe, okay?
Until now. Now I'm playing the snow globes.
But now it's time for my favorite game of all time, Keep the Snow Globes Going.
I love that she said, I'm playing the snow globes. Like it's a like it's an instrument. I'm going to say that all week. I'm playing the snow globes, okay?
Hi, I'm Ramona Singer, and welcome back to Keep the Snow Globes Going. Okay, audience, you'll pick up on it next time. Anyway, Contestant number one is me with a snow globe. Contestant number two is also me with a snow globe, but it's a taller snow globe with two limes. And contestant number three is Avery, who just has a glass of water. Okay, on your marks, get set, shake.
They said the Avery one, but it was really me. We just look just alike, like little sisters.
Sometimes when Avery and I are shaking snow globes together, people are like, who are those two young sisters who look like they could spend most of their days working at a fabulous financial institution and then at night going to bars in demand by men? Who are they? And I'm like, it's just me and Avery, mother, daughter, best friends shaking snow globes, okay?
Jesus, speaking of snow, do you hear that massive thing above my house? It's like a snow patrol coming.
Clear the streets. I don't hear it.
So, oh, good. Sorry. Well, sorry I ruined everything with a sound effect from that nobody even heard. So Dorinda's like, Bethany comes in and she just is mad. She's in one of her manic Bethany moods, and I'm sure has nothing to do with Adderall or anything like that. But she's like, hey,
what's the matter? Hey, what's going on? God, how many Santa Clauses are to greet? What's happening? What's going on? Elves? Hey, that's an elf. Where's Jewish? What's the matter? Okay, that's an elf. That's Santa. Okay, right there.
She's Victoria. Bossing around those little inflatable snowmen in the front. What are you doing? Stop sitting around.
Be Santa. Be jolly. It's my new holiday charity called Be Jolly.
So she walks in and she's like, look at this. I got a t-shirt. Look at it. Do you see what it says? And it says, chilling with the snowmies. And Dorinda's like, chilling. What'd I say?
You said chilling with the snowmies. Chilling with my snowmies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then she's like, chilling with my snowmies. She's like, finally. All right, there's one. Let's see if the moron with the snow globes gets it.
Cut to Ramona doing the full on like Carol of the Bells, but with the snow globes.
I'm playing with the snow globes. Ramona's a whole bell concert with just her laugh.
She's a snow globe shaker.
So she's like, oh my god, Dorinda, you got a contract.
Open up for Mannheim Steamroller.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm opening up for Mannheim Steamroller.
Cameron, Mannheim Steamrolls. Okay.
I have a tour date with Yanni at the Acropolis.
All these children come out and play bells, and then Cameron Mannheim comes out and just punches them.
I'm doing a collaboration with Sarah Brightman, okay? I'm going to be like, shh. She's going to be like, whoa.
And then I'm going to be like,
and Bethany, you can be in it too. You can be like, What's the matter?
Excuse me, I don't appreciate you talking about me with these bells.
Carol. No, Carol. It's Carol the Bells, not Carol the Radzawells.
Carol can just be the gong. Whenever they have a gong, Carol can just be going,
gong! I thought she was like, but I like her going,
well, she's exasperated this episode.
Luann just busts in like, did somebody say Christmas Carols? 3, 2, 1. Wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Loomis. We wish you a Merry Cocktail and a Happy Arrest.
I'm going to kill you all.
Man, we weren't even doing that song. We're doing Carol of the Bells.
Excuse me. I said stop talking about me.
Oh, I hate this song. Tinsley's just in the back whining about everything.
No, I feel like Tinsley would, she'd probably be like, last Christmas, you gave me your heart. The very next day, you gave it away. Actually, that'd be Sonia. You gave it away. Last Christmas, I gave Tinsley my heart. The very next day, she gave it away to Scott. Then she moved out and left me behind. And now I've got brown eyes and pickles stains.
Last Christmas, I gave you a gift certificate. The very next day, you said my boyfriend paid for it. This year, to save me from tears, I'm going to Coupon Cabin. I'm saving money like it's my job.
All I want for Christmas is snow globes.
I don't want is my two front snow globes.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Avery knows that this is true. Oh, all I want for Christmas is a snow globe I can shake with you. Oh, oh.
Mariah Carey's like, I don't know them.
Mariah Carey's like, you fully bastardized my song in like 10 different ways. You like took the chorus and the verse and reversed them. And mix them up.
So meanwhile, Bethany is just a little choo-choo train that keeps going on around the track over and over again. She's like, hi,
what's the matter? What's going on? Okay, hey, Dorinda, you got a contact. You know the people at Tiffany or FAO Schwartz? Because there's a nutcracker. It's huge. And my daughter wanted it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to get it for you. Who doesn't need a giant nutcracker in their life, right? Usually it's just me. Like, I'm the giant nutcracker. This one's bigger than me. Like, do you know what it's going to be like having another nutcracker in the house? But then they were out. And my kid's going to think I'm Santa if you get it. Can you try? Can you try? What the hell, Bethany? Jesus. Yes.
Bethany, give up on the dream. Okay, first of all, Bryn does not need a life-size nutcracker. It's going to torment her. It's going to torment you. Also, have you ever seen the nutcracker? You know how that story plays out. It's like a little fucked up, okay? So we don't need to introduce that spirit into your life. Second of all, how about this? Get her an origami book and a Hess truck, okay? Because that's what I got. All right?
First of all, when your kid walks in and sees a giant statue and says, I want that, you don't say yes, okay? Your kid's going to grow up to be a serial killer. You say, no. Yeah. No, ma'am. That is big.
Yeah, what happens next? Bryn's going to go into FAO Schwartz and see that creepy-ass clock that's up there. What's that song that goes on at FAO Schwartz? It's like... We are all friends or something like that. There's like some ridiculous song and the clock just smiles at you. What if Bryn wants that? You're going to get her that? No.
Didn't that place close? I thought it closed.
I feel like it's always been on the verge of bankruptcy, but people keep saving it because it's so beloved, which I'm glad.
No, kids want real toys, not just an iPad, which of course is a lie.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad's law office used to be directly across the street from FAO Schwartz, but it was on like the 25th floor or something like that. And if I went into the office, I would like literally put my face up against the window and stare down into FAO Schwartz. And you could they have like semi windows in there. So I could see the creepy ass clock. I could see it going around and around and like a few other things. And I just, for hours, I would just stare. And if I were really lucky, my dad would like walk me through. It was like truly a dream come true to go to FAO Schwartz as a child.
Did you judge all the toys?
Well, I got
comments
tied
about
up
all
by
the toys. You're like that nutcracker. Ugh.
I got tied up by Bette Midler, which I thought was so rude. But to be fair, I did shoot her with a foam gun.
Tom Hanks was just like jumping around on pianos.
Yeah, I was like, could you stop dancing on the piano, please? Some of us are trying to browse.
I mean, I appreciate you giving Elizabeth Perkins work because he doesn't love her, but still, Tom Hanks. Have some manners. So Dorinda's like, I'm going to call him now. I'll call him now. Can you call him? I'm going to call him now. Can you call him? I'm going to call him now. Jesus. So Dorinda's like, it's a mission to find a giant-sized nutcracker, and I'm going to do it. He might have murdered Freddy, although we all know who really did it.
So Bethany's like, look what I brought. Look, it's my first ever. It's like skinny girl jeans. Look at these. Like them. It's like really like you have to show the skinny girl at the Berkshires. Come on, guys.
So comfortable. They're so comfortable. They are so comfortable.
And Ramona's like, oh my god, look at you. You look so Xmas-y, except for those pants with like balls coming up the side. Who does that? Where'd you get those ugly things?
What are those like strange opaque snow globes that you can't even shake? I think I would like Bethany. I'd like this aspect of Bethany more if she were a little bit more upfront with her blatant shilling. Like, we're very upfront. We start every show. We're like, guess what? We're shilling. We got live shows. You know, we do it. That's fine. If Bethany were just like, well, you know me, I'm always a walking advertisement because I have to be. I feel like if she was more transparent about it, I'd be like, okay, I get it. But I feel like when she just, there's always a skinny girl thing in the frame. It's like, we don't try to like manipulate us. Okay. If you're upfront and then we feel like we're on the journey with you, we're down for that. We're going to support you. But if you're just trying to sneak it in on us,
Well, this one's not very snuck in. She's like, look, it's skinny girl jeans. TM, 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 TM. Skinny girl jeans. Skinny girl. Feel them. They're so skinny comfortable. They're bumptable. And so she's like, where's Carol? And everybody just is silent and looks at her.
It was like one of those horror movies, like, we don't talk about Carol anymore.
Do not say her name two more times. Do not say it two more times.
Suddenly, like, there's like metal over from Bethany's mouth. So Carol,
Dale!
Carol comes.
I'm gonna run a marathon.
Oh, what a crazy time. Suddenly I'm dancing to reggae at the dinner table. I love this. I love the holidays.
So Carol comes in. She's like, hi. And then she's like, hey. And they hug. And it seems like so sweet. I'm like, oh, this is gonna turn out to be a great trip.
Yeah. And then Bethany gives, Bethany gives her a sweater that says something like, all I want for Christmas is a new president. One of those sweaters. And Carol's like, oh, cool. Because, you know, like, we've all seen that, and it's kind of like, okay. And then basically, what, you don't like it? What, you don't like it? What's going on? You know, what's the matter? What, it's not good enough for you, huh? Not good enough, huh?
You
seen the dairy, huh?
I'm trying to tell you the backstory of Polly Politico. I got this picture of my late husband off of Wikipedia.
What? You don't like my sweatshirt? Is that what you're saying? No, Polly Snob Politico?
Polly Politico, huh? Is this not on your political agenda, the sweatshirt? Huh? Is that the deal? Huh?
I'm sorry.
Like, you got that off of Wikipedia? Guess what? I got this off Tipsy Elves, okay? Huh?
Did that sweatshirt lie about its emails? What? What? Go ahead. Go ahead. Hate it. Go ahead. Sorry, that was the opposite. She's pro Hillary. Sorry, Hillary Fail. I just had a Hillary Fail. Welcome to the Berserkers.
Hillary Fail, known as Hillary. And I'm a Hillary fan. Okay. So, and I did like her little Russian hat thing that she did this week. Did you see that? That was funny. I like that. I love Hillary. So Carol was like, so they're having these pleasantries, and Carol's like,
well, I'm not going to talk to Bethany about our issue because, you know, she's acting like nothing's bothering her. So I'm going to act like nothing's bothering me too.
I'm like, well, nothing's bothering her because it wasn't like a pressing thing. In my mind, the thing with Adam was like a annoying moment. Like, okay, well, now I'm not going to go to him. Like, I gave him an opportunity to do something, and I'm not going to go back to him. And she was just telling Dorinda. So, of course, it's not like this weighing on Bethany, you know?
Well, of course it doesn't weigh on her. She can just trash talk whoever she wants. She said that Adam wouldn't do it without money, and he's an operator, and blah, 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 and tries to trash him on national TV, which Carol doesn't know all that. But I guess she does now that Dorinda told her. But
yeah. And by the way, and Carol had a really strong blog last week, which we talked about, I think, on our TV party app, where Carol kind of took down Bethany in the blog. And it definitely made the needle go more towards Carol's side for me. But that being said, Carol's acting like Bethany. I don't think Bethany had anything on her mind when she walked in terms of Carol, in terms of like, oh, she's like ignoring this vibe. I was like, Carol, you're the one who has an issue. You just say it.
No, Carol didn't know that there was an issue in the first place. That's why Carol's not coming in with guns blazing.
No, but I'm saying,
she's just like, I didn't know she had an issue. I keep hearing she has an issue. Now she's pretending there's not an issue still, so I'm not going to make an issue out of an issue that isn't an issue.
But the thing is that Carol now has an issue. Carol is now feeling a certain sort of way because of what you heard the last night. So she's like, well, I'm not going to talk about it because Bethany's acting like nothing is wrong. I'm like, but you're actually the one who has the present, like, active issue at the moment.
Yeah, but she has an active issue with Bethany having an issue. See what I mean? It's like a reaction.
But that's what I'm saying. She should be the one. It's clearly more on her mind. So she's acting like Bethany should be the one to initiate. When in this situation, she should be like, listen, do you have an issue with me?
But I have to have a flapper dress on first. I'm more comfortable doing these things as Polly Politico. She's a very good debater.
So now they're downstairs in the kitchen, and now it's time to troll Ramona with Bethany's sweaters. Like, hey, Ramona, can read this. What does it say? And Ramona's like, chilling with my snow miles? Snow miles?
You get snow miles? What do those get you?
Is that Alaska Airlines?
Snowmen? I see snowmen on your boobies. Does it mean vaginas? And Bethany's like, yeah, it means vaginas. I have three vaginas, Ramona, okay? She's like, everybody, don't tell her what chilling with my snowies means, okay? Make her look it up. So Carolyn's like,
it's chilling with my homies.
And Ramona goes, what's a homies?
I love also, by the way, that Carol just ruins the joke. This is the episode where everyone just ruins the suspense for everything. What's a homie? I don't get it. Is that two men who like each other because it's a natural thing, and then they like each other, and then you hire them and you tell them to fix the cables behind your TV? Is that what homies are?
I believe that homies who fix cables behind TV should have the right to get married. No, Ramona, married. Oh, I was going to say, have all these homies just lined up on the streets? What do you do when they die?
Boom, I got it. So then here comes Sonia, Tinsley, and Luann. They enter next. And Tinsley, of course, has her pillow. She always, I forgot that she has her pillow issue. So she has.
Hi, my name is Ronnie. I have a pillow issue as well.
That's fine. That's something that you and Tinsley can bond on next time.
Oh, also, since you brought up Brittany Murphy, rolling with my homies.
I know. I was going to say, it was the second.
Oh, Brittany. R.I.P. Brittany.
We'll find another way to wedge her into this episode. We got to get a third one in.
So Ramona's like, oh, okay, Snowman, the homies. I got it. Like, no, you don't. So Tinsley's like, look at this big ball. I love it. And Luann's with them too. She's like, oh, I can't wait to see the decorations.
Would you believe it, girls? It's Christmas decorations everywhere. Countess and friends and decorations.
I've never seen a snowman with a light inside of it before. It reminds me when I was walking on the street one day and someone said, you have light inside of you. And that's when I knew I was the next Liza.
Now, excuse me, ladies, I'm going to burn this place down when I try to light the fireplace again. Second time's the charm.
You know what this means? You know what this means? You know what the shirt means? You know what it means? And Luann's like, chilling with my snowmies. And Sonya goes, homies! And Carol shames Luann. She's like, Lou didn't know. Of course yeah. I did. What do you think? I was born yesterday. I know shit. I look like it.
But... Luann had no idea, by the way, because when she said it, she goes, chilling with my snowmies. Ha ha. Like, I'm going to laugh because I know I'm supposed to laugh, but I don't know what I'm laughing at. Is it because we're saying the word chilling in reference to snow? Ha ha. That is hilarious.
Speaking of chilling, is there any wine? And Carol's like, isn't it a little early? So foreshadowing.
Exactly. Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, which doesn't really appeal to me because it's 11 a.m. now. So let's drink.
Let's drink, homie. So at the table, Dorinda. So Dorinda sits them all down at the table and she's like, ding, ding, ding. Listen here. We got rules of engagement this year.
Yeah. And it's like commercial break. And then we get the coupon cabin commercial. And this is a different one. Because now it's in this commercial, Carol and Dorinda are competing over who's going to be Tinsley's sidekick, which is LOL.
That has never happened and will never happen in real life. Okay. No offense, yeah. Tinsley.
And she's like, oh, but now there's a sidekick feature on Coupon Cabin. Oh.
I half expected Tinsley to just whip out a sidekick phone.
I know. It would harken back to like her days with Paris Hilton.
Yeah. This is how I first stalked somebody. Flip.
Yeah. So, it was like a whatever. And it was funny, though, because clearly they included an unscripted moment at the end where she's like, this is like my paycheck. And then Carol says something like, you don't get a paycheck, bitch, or something like that.
You don't work. But that's not unscripted because remember that line she was trying to learn in the elevator last week's commercial? She couldn't get the line right. So they just ended it. They're like, maybe she'll get the line right if we're on a different set where she gets to sit on the couch.
All right. These are the rules of engagement, okay? First rule of Fight Club, all right? You don't talk about Dorinda Club. Second rule, Len works for Dorinda, not the group. 2A, Len is a girl, not a boy, Ramona, okay? Don't even say it, Ramona. Don't say it. 3, Len doesn't make you tea. She makes me tea and I give you the tea. Okay. Number 4, Len wipes the floor down. You don't wipe the floor down. Len wipes it down. If you want to wipe something down, you come to me and I'm going to send you to the mud room and you get your own wiper. Okay. Number 4, don't go in the mud room. Okay. That's where Len is. Okay. Number 5, if you want to wipe down the mud room, you can come to me and then I'll talk to Len. Then Len will talk to you. And then you go into the mud room and then you find me and then I go into the mud room.
Don't touch other people's limbs. Okay, and this is how she keep your hands on your stuff and not other people's limbs. And Sonya's like, geez, you know, she's all upset about the nightie that she stole last year.
Yeah.
We respect the home. And then they show a clip of how no one respects her home ever. It's like Ramona ripping sconces off the wall and leaving like holes or whatever. And Sonya stealing stuff out of the dead, you know, the memories of Richard closet.
I mean, why did it take Dorinda 4 years to start establishing ground rules? How long does it take?
Rules of engagement. So she's like, it's not girls gone wild, okay? It's girls gone. Lynn's going to get his tea when we want it.
Hey, if you're in a room where there's a manta ray on the ceiling, don't touch the manta ray, okay? It's off limits.
Luann's like, can I touch the swordfish? Because I'm about to touch the swordfish.
Sing my new song, Touch the Swordfish. I touch the swordfish, and guess what?
I'm scarred. She's like terrified of swordfish for whatever reason. So she's sharing a room with Sonia, and they get the swordfish room. And so she starts putting hats and lights
on
the swordfish.
Wait, you're burying the lead here. Okay, it's not just like, oh, they're putting hats. It's not just the swordfish room. They come into this room. The walls are like forest green, this disgusting shade of green. There are two beds. There's a queen size bed, or maybe even a king. And then there's a fold out, and there's not really room for both. So they're both kind of like touching each other. So you have to like sort of like bound over both beds in order to get to the other half of the room. And on top of that, on the wall, there are like giant sharks. And there's a shark, there's a swordfish, and there's some other fish that are like, I don't know, I guess like plastic or porcelain, whatever it is. But they're kind of like figures. I don't know. They're like life-sized.
They're real fish. It's like when people stuff
they're
a bear.
They're taxidermied?
Yeah. It's like when people touch stuff a bear. What they do to fish is they gut them and shellac them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're right. That's like fish on a wall, like a bass on a wall. So yeah. It's like a weird – it was just a weird-ass room.
Yeah, it really was. And so Luann's freaked out, so she starts putting hats and lights on everything and then falls over on one. And Sonia's like, that was not me, okay? I'm not getting in trouble for this. So she pulls out her cell phone and starts taking pictures of every flaw in the room. She's yeah. like, I'm taking pictures of everything so I don't get blamed, okay? I'm going to cover my ass. I mean, not literally. Yeah. Like, I'm Sonia, but, you know, I'm not going to get in trouble. So she starts taking pictures of paint peeling off the walls and little
yeah.
stuffs. And now, you know, Dorinda's going to be mad that Sonia was, like, pointing out all the faults in her house.
Exactly. That's going to be an issue on the reunion. Mm-hmm. Personally, by the way, I enjoyed the upkeep that Luann did. I loved that there was a little Santa hat on the shark and that the swordfish, it had, like, Christmas lights on it. It was so cute.
It was cute. I mean, she made
I think
swordfish
it should just stay
cute.
Like that.
Nice work.
She
it's called yeah. show business, swordfish.
Listen, you can't put lipstick on a pig, but you can't put Christmas lights on a swordfish. You know what I'm saying, girls?
One, two, three, hit it, boys. So
Christmas lights on a swordfish. Ding, ding, ding goes the fin and the sword on the swordfish.
Sunrise, swordfish.
Swordfish, swordfish. Swordfish, swordfish, swordfish.
Where swordfish. Is that swordfish I carried? Where is that swordfish I raised?
Those swordfish grow up so fast. When will I have my own swordfish?
If I were a swordfish. This has been my montage of Swordfish on the Roof.
Thank you, Ronnie, for introducing music for my people to this Christmas episode.
I felt bad about your origami, okay? Even I have some sympathy sometimes.
Don't feel bad. I was obsessed with the origami. Oh, can I tell you? Wait, I'm sorry. I have to vent about this. I got invited to a baby thing, first of all, like in July. And you know I hate going to like baby parties. And so I RSVP'd yes, knowing full well I'm not going to go. But I still RSVP'd yes. But I was like, well, maybe I'll go. And then someone sent a message out to everyone on Paperless Post. It was like, we were thinking it would be so wonderful if we did 1,000 origami cranes because of like that thing about the cranes of like whatever, 1,000 cranes, whatever. And so we're going to have a crane making party on Friday night. Please let us know if you can make it. I'm like, fuck no. I love origami. I like making myself a crane. I am not making 1,000 cranes for a baby. Sorry, pass.
Yeah, one thing babies love, cranes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make 1,000 cranes to decorate the Ace Hotel with. No.
How about how about no? I don't like when you have to RSVP that far in advance. Like you
No.
I don't wanna have to come up with an excuse stuff. It's like, oh, I planned a trip. Really? No one knows everyone knows I didn't plan a trip that far in advance, you know.
Well, we're literally traveling every weekend in July, except for the weekend that it's part. I'm like, I don't want to book anything on the one weekend.
You have a that, watch what like, crappens excuse, the best kind.
Exactly. Look at me. Look how it's all going to my head. I'm becoming Bethany. You know what? I can't. I can't.
Merry Crappens. Merry Crappens. Okay, everybody.
Merry Crappens. Okay. You know what?
Happy Crappensica.
And to anyone who may be going to that party who is listening to this podcast, pretend I never said anything.
Yeah, don't be Ramona. Keep it to yourself. So they're all getting ready for this party. It's nighttime now. Ramona comes down in a hot pink fur jacket, which you know she stole from somebody. She probably stole that from Kyle by Eileen, too, or something during that opening party. And she's like, I find it ironic that you're the temperance woman, Dorinda, which now she said ironic. I can't believe Ramona is using words correctly, and it's freaking me out.
Don't you think? And she's like, and then Dorinda's like, yeah, but I'm going to make it ironic because I'm actually going to drink. It's like, yeah, well, shocker.
Yeah, my name is Shelley Shocker, and I'm glad to be invited to this party.
So then Ramona's supposed to be, her name is Lydia Birdsong, but she goes, I'm Lady Bird. I'm an entrepreneur with the best feathers because they're organic, free range. Lady Bird.
She goes, I'm an entrepreneur. She goes, what'd you say? Damn it.
My mom is Lori Metcalf.
I'm an entrepreneur. I like free range. What does that mean?
I like organic.
Entrepreneurs like free range. I'm so confused. So
she's saying about all the different aspects of Lady Birdsong that speak to her. Mm-hmm. She resonates with Lady Birdsong.
All those fresh, natural, hot pink birds roaming around the world. So Rhett is like
Lydia Birdsong. I'm sure. Sorry.
Rhett's like. Rhett. Oh, so the Rhett's butler's the butler. Arrive. Yeah, so the murder mystery people arrive. And they're, you know, dinner theater people. They're pretty much what you'd expect.
It's Aiden, Freddie. It's Aiden. So it's Rhett is the butler. You have Freddie Feathersby, who owns the estate. And you have Aiden, who's Freddie's assistant. And Ramona just is like, I'm Lady Bird. I'm Lady Bird. I'm like, your name is Lydia, not Lady Bird.
Lady Bird Johnson. She's like, are you the butler? He's like, yes, ma'am. How could you tell? She's like, I could tell by your accent, your fatness, the way you carry a towel on you, the way you called yourself a butler.
Hey, can you do me a favor? I have my bag is still down here. Could you bring it upstairs, please? And also, while you're upstairs, can you look at this TV? I'm concerned about the wires. I want to, can you know if you put those wires? Also, can we mount this television over here? And can we put this art over here? Like, lady, I'm not a real butler. Okay, great. I'll have some tea at 5 o'clock, please. Thank you.
That's not Lynn, so I didn't break the rules. So Ramona's like, oh, because they announced the lead of the night, Freddie Feathersby. And she's like, my feathers are better, okay? They're organic. And I was like, oh, this is such a cringe flirt. I mean, Ramona is really a struggle muggle. Okay? She's like the definition of struggle muggle. She's like, well, why? You want to touch my feathers? Feathersby? Make sure they're good as yours?
I also like that her character description obviously had like three words on it. She is, I forget what you call it when you're someone who works with feathers in fashion. There's like a feathier or something like that. There's actually a term for it. But they're like told, okay, she makes things with feathers. She likes organic. She likes free range. Those are the only three things. So she just repeats them in different orders. Oh, do you like my feathers? They're organic and free range. I'm gonna have a fritter now. Because I like feathers, and I like organic, and I like free range. That's my character. I'm building my character right now, okay?
Are these fritters free range?
Because I only eat free range. Are they organic? Do they have feathers in them? That's my character, Lydia Birdsong, Lady Bird.
So this is Dorinda's party, and she's the least interested, I have to say, in these guys. She's like,
yeah,
that's Freddy. He owns the house, huh? Like, jeez, why are you dissing Freddy?
Let me tell you something. This is Richard's house, okay? This is Richard's. This is my father's house and Richard's house. So, Freddy, you better get out of here. I don't know who these people are. It's like, Dorinda, those are the hired actors.
And she's like, you're the assistant. What do you do? And he's like, whatever my master wants. And she's like, and Ramona goes, anything. Yes, Ramona, everyone's here to bang you, okay? Sit down.
So then Carol comes in as Sylvia Treadway, a.k.a. Polly Politico. I'm like, did Carol give herself a new name entirely? I was confused. Why was she Sylvia Treadway, a.k.a. Polly Politico? Mm-mm.
She said why. She's like,
well, my name is Wilterbuns, but they call me Polly Politico because they like to make fun of the fact that I'm running for Congress.
And they're like, oh, nice line memorization, nice character memorization. And then, Tinsley is with Carol, right, in this part? And she's like, I'm ready for this party. And Carol's like, I have cigarettes. Which is hilarious. And then Tinsley's like, well, I live next door, and my dad made money in the defense industry. We know the Boeings, okay?
She's like, I live next door. It's 1920, and we made our money selling Microsoft Office. We are related to the Gates.
We're enemies with the McAfees.
Why would you hate virus scanners?
We're the Nortons.
Don't question me if you ever want to fly again.
So Carol and Tinsley talk a little bit about Bethany and the Adam situation, and they're like, what, huh, what? But whatever. So now we go downstairs, and Sonia has made her entrance as Maria Antipasta, which is my favorite name. She's the accountant. And like Ramona, Sonia is very keen on character development. So in case anyone forgot that she's the accountant, she brought a calculator from the future. Well, you know, I took a time machine. I took like H.G. Wells' time machine. I found a calculator. I brought it back. I thought it'd be really helpful. And now we can fend off the Great Depression, which, oh yeah, that's coming in about 8 years.
H.G. owed me one. I banged him once. So Sonia's like, I love any party with a costume thing. Okay, so this is one thing I noticed Sonia's doing more. Do you hear me how I'm talking right now? She just shakes her head whenever she talks. Oh. Have you noticed that? She's like bobbling her head now. She's like, I love any party with a costume. And I like the men. I mean, there could be more, but I'll take them. Okay, you guys are really fattest. Because at first I thought they meant all the men. But then later she's like, what, there's only two men? I'm like, there is three men.
What about
there
Rhett?
Are three men. You're just being fattest against poor Rhett. Jerks.
Also, what accountant just walks around with an old-fashioned calculator? Which, of course, is not the old-fashioned calculator to us. And like some treasure from the future to people from 1920. But honestly, have you ever seen, you know, I'm a CPA. I'm just going to walk around with my calculator out all day long, just tabulating everything. Like someone would say, well, you have a lovely cheekbone. She'd be like, yes, I do. And I just did some division.
Can you even buy those things anymore? I just imagine she walked down into the basement and pried that out of Pickle's cold dead hands.
It's calculator number 3, made from parts from calculator number 1 and 2.
So Bethany comes down, and she's like acting, which is hilarious.
she's acting, but she's still very Bethany, because she's Melanie Wharton, and she comes down, and he's like, "Hello, good ma'am, I'm Freddie Feathersby, and I this is my mansion." She's like, "Okay, hi, what's going on?"
Hello, I'm Melanie Wharton.
What's the matter? What's going on? What's happening? But she still basically gives him the cold shoulder.
She's just cold shouldering everybody. But I think it's her character. And he's like, your business acumen precedes you. And she's like, apparently I'm the brains because Freddie's an idiot. I fit right in. Damn. Okay, so this is where, you know, we talk a lot about how Bethany, one minute we're loving her, the next minute she's the total villain that we can never forgive.
Yeah.
This is one moment where it's like, this is why Bethany needs to always be on this show and my television. She is hilarious in this segment.
She really is. So first they're all gathering downstairs and people are coming in one at a time. But so now Bethany has made her entrance. She's talking around. And Sonia, of course, is being ridiculous. She goes, this looks expensive. Let me write this down. Sonia, it's a fritter.
So Bethany just starts snarking on everybody. She's like, Dorinda's fighting for prohibition. That's a little dyslexic. Yeah. Sonia's trying to get money from some old guy. Same bitches, different era.
Yeah, things are getting a little cold in here. It's a little cool, little Coolidge. I'm trying to do a 1920s presidential joke, but it occurred to me this was 1920 and Coolidge was not until 1922. And you know what? Like, kill me. Like, honestly, kill me right now. Kill me.
I'll tell you, who's from the 20s. Lady Bird Johnson. She loved a good drink.
You know who's from the 20s? Avery, she's in her 20s, and I look like I'm in my 20s. So people always say, you guys look like your best friends. You're in your roaring 20s, okay?
So Carol comes down. She's like, hi, boy.
totally political. Here's the my dead husband or whatever. And Bethany's like, Carol's playing a political know-it-all in Lace with the deceased husband. Carol's playing Carol.
And then Tinsley comes down. She's like, hi, Nell neighbors. And Dorinda's like, Tinsley looks like Tinsley. Like, she's just wearing her normal outfit and, like maybe a little thing
doll.
In her hair.
A baby yeah. doll dress of some sort. A lace baby doll dress this time. And
oh, look, there's Nell neighbors. I was going to say, there's Nell neighbors' signature curl.
So Carol lights a cigarette in Bethany's face, and she's like, if you don't mind, I don't like the smoking. She goes, Carol's taken up smoking under the guise of costumes, okay? Carol smokes now, basically. Which is hilarious that Carol's become a smoker just because of costumes.
Yeah. I know. So now Ramona proves that even when in character, she's still Ramona, because she goes up to Freddie, and she goes, just so you no, when you left the room, Aiden, your assistant, said that he hates you. Like, wow, you really can't, like, you are literally even trying to stir up shit between fictional characters. She's like, yeah. And then Freddie's like, did he really say that? And he's like, I would never say that. Why would I ever say that? And it was actually hilarious because then they show a flashback and Aiden just goes, I hate him. I thought it was going to be like, well, he's not the nicest. But he's like, no, he literally goes, I hate him.
Leave it up to Ramona to just ruin the mystery. So good.
And then when he says, I hate him, Ramona goes, and you say it with such a smile on your face. Are you hitting on me?
And Bethany's like, what are you doing? Like, you gotta, yeah. Like, why are you doing that? You know, it's not nice.
Why are you doing that? Why are you blowing up Aiden's spot?
Yeah. You gotta know it's not constructive when someone leaves the room. You tell them the exact same thing. You tell them what somebody just said about him. Who does that? The music is like, they have all new music for this, which is hilarious. It's such a good episode.
But you could tell in a weird way, Bethany was really angry because it's like, that's just like Ramona, okay? Like a fictional character confides in her, and the first thing she does is like just gossip with someone else. Like, she can't even keep a mouth shut. Like, why'd she do that? Why'd you do that? You're not a nice person. You're not a nice person to Aiden. Not a nice person to Freddie Feathersby. You're a bad person. You're a bad person. Why do you do these things? Next thing you know, you see Lydia Birdsong on like a pool in the pool noodles. Be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, Ramona goes.
She goes, there's an attraction to Freddie, okay? And I want him to know that he surrounds himself with the wrong people, okay? I'm here for Freddie Feathersby.
Hey, Freddie, what does this make you think of?
So Bethany's so like, you were born with privilege, and Lady Bird was born with diarrhea of the mouth. And Ramona's like, well, okay.
I don't know what that means. I think I had diarrhea at the snow globe.
So then the butler gives a speech, and of course Luann comes down 5 hours later. Like, the game has already started. And she's like,
Minaj.
She's like, we're Aussie cocktails. Bonjour.
Now, Luann, you know, you were married to a Frenchman for nearly 20 years. Please tell me this is please tell me your French is better than this, because this was like Thomas Ravenel level. She's like, oh, bonjour monsieur, je m'appelle Luann et je suis très retard et il fait froid et je voudrais en boîte s'il vous plaît.
And Rhett's like, you're pathetic, and I'm a dinner theater actor, okay? And Bethany's like, why hasn't anybody tried the fritters? That's real mystery here. These fritters are delicious. Why hasn't anybody tried these? They're called bitters.
Yeah, she's fritters. Like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make skinny girl fritters. They're gonna be called skitters. Be fritter. Britta. That's what you just said.
She just Britta takes fritters.
I'm gonna sue Britta Filters. Britta Filters, I'm suing them.
Britters.
So Bethany's like, so if I got like silk gloves on, how am I supposed to eat with a fritter? How am I supposed to eat a fritter with white gloves on? So she's trying the fritter, and while she's trying it, Aiden suddenly starts to get ill, and he's like, and he just flops over and dies, and he's literally like quote unquote dying, and all you hear is Bethany going, "Does anyone understand how good these fritters are? Like, is anyone else freaking out about these fritters? Like, why doesn't anyone talk about these fritters? These are so good. They're like amazing. The fritters. Bethany, someone died. But the fritters are. But the fritters.
Someone get a doctor.
Oh, the mouse, I shall do something." I'm like,
croissant.
She starts giving him mouth to mouth. And then Freddie's like, "Well, let's discuss this in the dining room."
Bethany's like, "Help him. I got a fit in my hand." "Would you believe it, girl? Someone died. I didn't even get to sing my songs to him. Who was he?"
"Hush, little baby. Don't say a word. You're dead now. I guess you can't. Well, that ruined my act. Thanks a lot, Aiden."
3, 2, 1. Killing him softly with my mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Yeah, I hope they tipped well, because that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot. So they go Bethany to the goes...
Sorry, no, go
it's
on.
Okay. No, go ahead.
No, I like that Bethany goes, "Did he have a fitter? Did he have, why did he die? Did he have a fitter?
Oh, God. Are these fritters killers? I don't even care. Like, kill me 20 times. That's how many I'm eating of these. These are delicious." So they go into the dining room, and she's like, "Freddie, it's you and I now." Yeah. And Ramona goes, "Oh, my God. Freddie is next to me. Before, the dead man was. So thank God. Now it's a live man."
Ramona is the worst actress of all time. Like, someone died, and she's like, "Well, this is great news. Now I get to sit next to Freddie. Before it was Aiden, and Aiden was mean. He hated you. But I'm attracted. I feel an attraction with you, Freddie. And now our attraction can grow.
I'm an entrepreneur. Can I have 3 glasses, please?"
"Excuse me. I would like 3 glasses. One of tequila, one with limes, and one with water, Rhett. Please go get it."
Oh, so Freddie's like, okay. So they're having this dinner, and Freddie's like, "Well, if we bring the police into town," and Tinsley's hiding behind a bush outside. She's like, "I had a bad experience with police. Please don't call them again."
Luann's like, "Oh, poor girl. I would never want to be like that." But you know what's funny is they actually start treating Rhett the butler like an actual butler. Because I was just joking before, but I forgot that Ramona literally goes, "Ooh, I love what you're giving. I love this cocktail. But can I just get more ice, more tequila, and a little bit more club soda and side? Thanks very much."
Dorinda yells at him. She goes, "Look, I care about Alien. But really, where's the butler? There's no drinks here." And Rhett's like, "I heard. I'll be back." And then you hear him in the back. He goes, "Get them drinks. They're yelling."
I missed that. He's like, "They think I'm an actual butler, so let's like get this going here."
And they're like, "Do you want tequila?" And Lou's like, "Ah, oh, tequila. I can't drink this tequila because I fall into the bushes." And then it shows her falling into the bushes, and they put a caption that says 1919.
That was my favorite thing. And they put like a little like cinematic thing to it. That was one of the funniest things they've ever done. 1919. Like, that is such a stupid and brilliant thing to do.
Dorinda is just turning evil at this point, okay? Freddie's like, "Well, cheers to dead Aiden." She's like, "Never liked him."
"Never liked him. Never liked him." So now Freddie starts choking at the table, and Luann goes, "The fritters!"
The girl's like, "Heimlich! Heimlich!" And so now it's Ramona's turn. So Ramona's breaking this guy's bones. You know,
"I've been practicing my shaking all day long."
And then Sonya gets behind him and just starts nodding his head, because Rhett's like, "Ladies, I'm not really a butler. I'm a cop."
"Well, I still need a drink, copper."
And then he goes, "Look, Freddy's dead, even though you're trying to make him nod for no reason."
And so it's like, so now it's like, I was excited. I was like, "Oh, good. Now the murder mystery can begin." And Rhett goes, "Okay, now you have to figure out who killed Aiden." And Dorinda goes, "Me, I did it. I didn't, you know, I didn't, he's interested with not with mine, so I did it." I was like, you organized this entire weekend, you had everyone get into costume, you hired these people, and the moment that the mystery starts, you're like, "I did it, it's over, it's, I did it."
"I've been drinking messy since breakfast, let's just make an end."
And you could see Rhett was fine with it. He's like, "Well, yes, that's correct, and you just confessed to it, and my work here is done, and here's a bottle of Dom Perignon, and I'm going back down to the Catskills."
I know. At first, I thought, what a waste of the 10 little Indians, because Dorinda has those 10 little Indian statues on the mantle in there, or whatever, some shelf in there, and I forgot that that's a part of her natural decor, which is really creepy. I would never stay at that house. She's like, "One by one, people get murdered."
I was... I really was bothered by the fact that Dorinda short-circuited the murder mystery. I wanted to see it all play out. I wanted to see them all, like, accuse each other of murder and things like that. Maybe it happened. Maybe the editors cut it out.
She's like, I win, I'm starving. And Luann goes, only in this country you take pride for killing someone. Or you get a prize for killing someone.
Nice commentary, Luann. And then Ramona goes, hey, for a bottle of champagne, I'll become a murderer any day. Like, that's on record, Ramona.
So now they're having dinner, and Bethany's already trying to stir shit. She's like, hey, Ramona, we're in the Berkshires. Where does Heather live? Remember you were at her house? And she goes, I was there. She had no conditioning. I almost died, okay? I had to go to the Berkshires. That woman had no air conditioning. And girl goes, that's rude. Don't say that woman. And she goes, okay, the woman.
I was like, Heather. Well, I forgot her name. I'm sorry. I forgot her. I just remember she said Hala, which is not appropriate because we're celebrating Christmas, not Hanukkah.
The mind goes. What can I tell you? Bethany goes, ah, so your mind is going for names or the things you say. Because remember you said I called Carol a puppet? Remember that? I was like, uh-oh. You're opening a can of worms, miss. I don't think you want to be opening this right now because you even admitted that you basically called her a puppet.
Well, yeah, and then... But, you know, it's the Berkshires. Bethany can't help open up the can of worms at the Berkshires. She can't. She can't help it.
So she does it.
And so they're starting to talk about it. And Carol's like, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that. She's like, I know you wouldn't say that. Well, you know, I wouldn't say it. Like, yeah. And they're going back and forth, sort of in like sort of a circle. They're kind of like posturing a little bit. And finally, Dorinda's like, can I just say this? I just can say this. Don't get mad. And don't you get mad. But. Do you think you have a little bit of tension?
Well, bit of tension? Look it up now, and I'm the only one brave enough to say it, okay? Ramona's like, I didn't say anything. I just repeated it. I just repeated it. I just repeated it. Okay, shut up, Ramona.
And Bethany's like, I don't feel tense. And Carol's like, well, our vibe is a little off. And then here we go. We're off to the races.
Here it starts. Yeah. So first it starts off pleasantly enough with Carol saying, well, if you have a problem with me, and Bethany's like, I don't have a problem with you. I don't have a problem with you. It's like, well, you know, I heard about what, you know, Adam and or the amount of financial support to your charity. And Bethany's like, I don't need any support. I don't need any support. You didn't even ask about it once. So like, why don't I need support? You didn't even ask about my charity. And now it goes from like, well, I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue to like, oh, by the way, except I have these five issues. And she's like, I have these five issues too.
Yes, and I have to point out that Carol's hands are shaking at this point. Like, she lifts her finger to make a point, and I was like, girl, you going in. I don't blame her. Bethany's terrifying, and she knows because she's helped Bethany for all these years be terrifying. So it's kind of karma.
Terrifying.
She's scared, and I'm, you know, I always root for the one that's more terrified. So I'm like, you go, Carol, which I haven't said for like 3 years.
Carol's hands are fully shaking. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to sneeze, so you talk, because I'm about to sneeze.
So she's like, look, truthfully, all I said is that I just didn't hear about it for Puerto Rico, and that's the truth. And she goes, oh, really? Because Page Six called about some feud story, and I killed the story because it wasn't true, but I hear these rumblings not only from Dorinda, and remember when you said Dorinda's the one who called Page Six? And then Dorinda doesn't really deny it. She's just like, deep. Yeah, I mean, well, maybe she did deny it, but it was like in that Dorinda way, like, with me, which I think it probably was Dorinda, which is hilarious because that's what she screamed at Sonya for last year.
I don't know. I don't believe.
These ladies in their Page Six calling.
I feel like Dorinda's not the type that would call the Page Six, oddly enough.
Or maybe they called her, she saw them at a party or something.
Yeah, or I wouldn't be surprised if Dorinda told someone and then that person told Page Six. I don't see Dorinda as being the type to call Page Six. Sonya would do it, but yeah. So Page Six said that there was a feud, and then Carol killed the story, as you said. So then
Bethany is embarrassed because now she's in trouble with Dorinda, and she goes, well, look, you were the only person I told something to, and then they called me. So I did say that. And Luann's like, oh, you said that about Page Six and Dorinda? It's like, okay, Luann, the murder mystery is over. You can calm down over there.
She's like, je suis escargot.
And then Bethany automatically is like, oh my God, I did say that, but I didn't think it was going to come out. Like, what? I don't even have a safe space with Carol? I don't even have a safe space with Carol?
I got confused here. Can you walk me through this again? Because so Carol heard Page Six called up Carol to say, we hear that you're feuding, and Carol killed the story. Now she thinks it is. But then what was it? How can you just teach it to me? Sorry.
Well, I think Carol is trying to pull Dorinda in because she doesn't want to go alone. Against Bethany, but she's basically just saying she's heard that Bethany said that she called Adam for Houston and Puerto Rico and he refused to go because he wasn't getting paid and she was calling him an operator and all this stuff. and which is basically what happened, right? So Bethany is caught. So she's that, like, she just starts repeating things back to Carol and being like, you are. First of all.
Is that what made it into page six, the Adam comment?
No, it was that they had a feud, that Bethany and Carol were feuding.
Right. And Bethany was saying, like, I only told Dorinda about the Adam comment. Is that what she's referring to there?
No, I think she was, I don't know.
It makes it more confusing for everyone.
Because it seems like it would have come out a while ago, but because they just had lunch last week, but you never know because editing, you know.
But I guess my question is, when like Bethany is caught, like she's caught because she was talking shit about Adam. That's what you're basically saying.
Yes, and then she starts trying to argue about the details. So she's like,
why don't you come to me? You never told me you called Adam about Houston. She's like, I didn't call him. Well, you never told me you emailed Adam. I didn't email him. Okay, well, Carol, what was it? Smoke signals?
She goes, yeah, it was smoke signals. It was smoke signals, Carol. Well, what did you do? You contacted him.
Well, it was clearly text. Text is the last option, or IM, right? And, or maybe she DM'd him on Twitter. But like, yeah, Bethany is suddenly playing the semantics game, which as they later say, as Dorinda sort of says later, when you're playing the semantics game, you're losing the argument, basically.
Yes, and so, then Carol is going to win anyway with a word game because she's a writer girl. But, yeah. She goes, okay, well, you have never told me that you engaged Adam to go to Houston. And Bethany's like, okay, if this is what you want, then go ahead. Tell your story. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because Carol's like, if this is the vibe, I don't like it. So when Carol says, you never told me that you would engage Adam to go to Houston, then Bethany's like, you know what? You're freaking me out right now. You're actually freaking me out. You're freaking me out. Yeah. And that's when Dorinda's like,
you know, crazy?
What?
Are you going crazy, Carol? Because Carol's not yelling. She's handling this very well.
Carol is in control. She's actually winning the argument by far. This is actually one of the first times we've seen Bethany really not go toe-to-toe with someone.
Bethany was about to start crying. Like, she can't win this, and she can't say she's wrong because she's Bethany. So she's just confused. And then I started feeling bad because she starts crying, or about to cry. But then I can't feel bad because she's like, go on, Carol, you're freaking me out. Go ahead. Like, she says it in that way, like, go ahead and just betray me on TV. Go ahead.
Yeah, Carol. Well, I think it was surprising. Bethany is really, like, her skill set is that she can really take someone down. When someone comes for her, she can take them down. Maybe she was just so blindsided that this was coming from Carol. I don't know. But Dorinda was right. She's like, when an emotional conversation becomes about precision, about like it's, you know, it then it's like it becomes frustrating because it's not about the time. It's not about who called who, because they start fighting about like, you know, Carol says something like, well, Adam couldn't go on Sunday because he had a clean. Bethany said, well, it wasn't on Sunday. It was on Saturday. Well, it was Saturday. Well, it matters. You know what? Like, facts matter to me. It's like, it's important for me to have the facts because it was Saturday and Sunday. Da, 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 da. And Carol's like, whatever. And the moment that Bethany is debating between Saturday and Sunday,
she lost.
That's to me, that's like almost like you're stalling because you don't know what to come. You don't know what to come at the person for. You don't know how to rebut them. So you get them tangled up in minutiae.
Well, normally when she comes for people, it's so crude and mean and out of the blue. And she doesn't have an emotional stake. Like, she doesn't give a fuck about Ramona or Sonia or Luann. I don't think really. She's just like berating them and being a horrible human being.
But
in this case, her feelings are hurt. So she can't just say, well, my feelings are hurt because one minute we're friends and the next minute you're hanging out with Tinsley, because then she looks like a pussy and she doesn't want to look like that, you know? So it's like her
and
own.
And you don't want to say it in front of Tinsley also.
Right. Like, that's something you don't want to even won't even admit that to herself, you know, but it's so obvious to everyone else. And so she's hurt, you know. So Ramona goes, all girls have gone toe to toe with Bethany, but Carol has better verbal skills. She just like gets tripped up saying verbal, which is so Ramona. She's like, I'm so proud of Carol, okay?
I'm gonna give her this snow globe. I'll be like, listen, join me at my concert, okay? So then Carol's like, every time we're together, you're aggressive and you're dismissive with me. And Bethany goes, that's not the case. I'm like, you just dismissed what she just said.
She's like, case dismissed. I'm not dismissive. Case dismissed.
It is, honey. Oh, she goes, it is, honey, it is. Don't call me honey, okay? Don't call me honey. It's condescending, all right? It's condescending, boo-boo. It's like, wait a second.
That's minutia. Just stop talking.
And she goes, don't raise your voice. Don't raise your voice. Oh,
don't control me, Carol. Don't control me, Carol.
Bethany is really losing this one because Carol's not. Yeah. Carol doesn't have the physical ability to raise her voice. Okay.
She barely raised that cigarette holder. Thank you. It's terrible. The way you're talking is terrible. It's terrible. No one whines and screams more than you, Bethany. You don't allow other people to speak if it's something else that you don't like. If it's something you don't like, which is like, Bethany, you are the queen railroader here. Like, you have all four railroads in monopoly. You are the railroad person here, okay? You are the one who does not allow people to speak.
Yeah, I'm a running railroad. All right, I own the railroad
Bethany,
in this town. So
I'm running
up.
Railroad. I'm Pacific, and I'm Short Line.
It's called the railroad. Okay, don't try and read it. It's just a branding thing. So this was interesting. And then Bethany had a text this week where a tweet where she was like, it's not a direct quote. It's just a basic. But she's like, well, you know, I don't have time to worry about this because I'm worrying about people in Puerto Rico who are dying.
Oh, geez. Bethany.
Which is the most annoying thing about people who are charitable. It's like you're doing great work, but then you use that as like then all of a sudden it's like you're Teflon. Like, well, you can't come for me because I'm actually It's like, damn it. Like, why do you have to be feeding people who need food desperately? Because now it's like, oh, I can't be petty with you anymore. Like, no, we can still be petty with you.
Yeah.
But so, yeah.
You are still an asshole. Like, that doesn't erase things that you've done, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah.
Thanks for the help, but it doesn't – to use that as an excuse, it's like the dead – Jax's dad dying is an excuse for everything. And then this thing, it's like people are finding these emotional ways to block themselves from criticism. I'm sorry, but it's transparent. You can't do that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so when Bethany says you don't allow other people to speak if it's something you don't like, Carol's like – no, I love you. I love you. I have great affection for you, Bethany. And she said, well, it doesn't seem so right now. And then Carol says, it doesn't seem that. I don't know why. I think I stopped writing for some reason.
Last thing I wrote. And then next week it looks like it goes to shit really fast. And then it's like fun again.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty surprising. I think you're really right. I think that basically what happened was over the summer, Carol and Tinsley started hanging out more and Bethany felt left out. And then on top of that, it was probably dovetailed with what Bethany perceived as Carol not caring about her charity. And she probably was sensitive to that more because she felt like Carol was already giving her the cold shoulder. Like Carol was probably not being any less giving any less attention to the charity than she would have normally. But because it's in the context of her being hanging out with Tinsley more, Bethany felt it more. But then the question is, why was Carol hanging out with Tinsley more and not Bethany? What role did Bethany play in that?
I don't know. They just seem to like each other, and they're dating friends. You know, their boyfriends are friends. Carol introduced the boyfriend to Tinsley, so they're probably double dating and having fun.
Yeah.
And Bethany's just out of it. And then it's like, give to my charity. And so Carol told her, well, I'll match your charity. I'll match your charity donation. What you give me, I'll match to your charity, which is kind of maybe she took offense to that. I mean, I don't know.
But I think you just had – you really nailed it, which is that there probably was like double dates with – like Carol Adam and Scott and Tinsley, even though Carol and Adam were like sort of in this weird place, they still were probably doing double dates and Bethany probably felt left out. And so even though it wasn't like Carol was hanging out with Tinsley more, the way that they did hang out probably triggered some sort of like loneliness that Bethany feels that then made her it projected in a way of like, you guys are leaving me out. It summoned hurt that she feels about her state of life.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, actually.
I think it's just simple. Like, her feelings are hurt that was her friend and now it's Tinsley's friend, you know? Right. And, you know, I can see that. But, you know, having a good emotional excuse isn't an excuse. It's a reason, but it's not an excuse.
Yes. And, you know, it was so funny because I'm such a fucker. You know, I spent like 2 years being like, ugh, I'm sick of Carol and Bethany being like the mean girls. They're always like together being mean girls. And I'm like, I miss Carol and Bethany.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad it didn't get too nasty. I mean, it did get kind of, it looks like it
it's
gets
getting
nastier,
nasty.
But for now,
it's going to be nasty by the reunion. It's going to be nasty because it's getting nasty in the blogs.
Yeah. But it's nice to see Bethany being taken down a peg. Because she deserves it, and she's too much. She's too mean to people, and she's ridiculous. And if you have a legit problem with someone, talk it out. Don't just go talk shit behind their back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then try and make it look like you're the victim. You know, it seems like that's what she does. She's like, I'll make everybody talk to Carol so that it looks like Carol's yelling at me, and I can sit here and cry and act like the victim when I'm the one who did everything in the first place. It's a mindfuck.
And I feel like Carol is secretly like Candy Burris, which is in the sense that I think that she is capable of forgiving but not forgetting. And so even if Bethany if Bethany has a moment where she's like, you know what, at the end of the day, I think my feelings were hurt. And I think I felt like a certain sort of way and I projected it and I handled it wrong and I was a total bitch to you. I think Carol would be like, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I should have been more attentive, yada, yada, yada. But I think Carol would never let Bethany back in.
Well, I don't know how deep she was in the first place. It's hard to tell with those two. They both
seem
like walls
up. They did Christmases together.
Yeah, but they kind of seem to hate each other. Bethany seemed to kind of hate Carol sometimes. She'd be like, what, you don't know what ice cream is? What, you don't like that? What?
But that was the funny part of their relationship, because Carol, in those situations, Carol would sort of play like the dumb person, you know, which maybe Carol resented, because sometimes you have a dynamic with someone where you wind up playing a role and you can't really help it, but you kind of get pushed into that role where you're like, okay, she's gonna be the know-it-all, so I'm gonna, like, you start to mentally coast a little bit, so you're now the one that's like, oh, and you're like, wait a second, I've been put into this role and I didn't ask to be put in this role.
Yep. I don't know, it's very emotional, okay? It's been a long podcast, but we're laughing, we're crying,
we're gonna get through it.
And that's pretty much it. We will be back tomorrow with some Southern Charm, everybody.
Looking forward to it. And remember, of course, we will shill just like Bethany. You got to go to watchacrappins.com, buy tickets to our shows. We want to see all your smiling faces. We are all across the country. It's going to be amazing. Our New York show in Phoenix, I think, will be spectacular. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's
all I got to say. Phoenix. Bye, everybody. All right,
bye.
Fry here. My new podcast series, Great Leap Years, is brought to you by our ingenious chums at Hyundai, who are the world's first car brand to produce a car with three electrified powertrain options. No, nothing to do with locomotives. It means the Hyundai Ioniq actually comes in plug-in, hybrid, and electric. Surely the future. And to get my new podcast series, visit stephenfry.com/greatleapyears.